Today's daf is Vav Bas v'daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on daf Nun Vav and Beis at the two dots toward the end of the page. And today we're going to discuss the part of the Mishnah where we said that Shlosha Achin ve'echad mitzarif imahen, that if you have three brothers each testifying about 1 year of chazaka in the land, and then somebody else combining with those three brothers, that is a valid edus. It's considered Shalosh Eduyos, and therefore you don't have the psul of Karov or Pasul. So the Gemara is going to briefly discuss brothers combining for an edus, and whether we can compare this to other cases of brothers combining for an edus, specifically when it comes to kiyum shtaros. Then we're going to have a mishnah and zayin amrav that's going to move the conversation over to cheskas tashmishin. Cheskas tashmishin is a little bit different than the kind of chazakos we've been talking about until this point. Cheskas tashmishin means that if you've been using somebody else's property in some way, you've been benefiting from his property, so that you have, and he hasn't said anything about it, so you have a chazaka that he must have been mochel, not necessarily a cheskas gimel shanim that would prove that you have purchased anything. No, just a chazaka that he must have been mochel for you the rights to use the property. So the Mishnah is going to talk about when you have a cheskas tashmishin, what types of things that you're doing would not create a cheskas tashmishin. And the Mishnah is specifically going to contrast leaving things, putting things in a chatzah which is not a cheskas tashmishin, versus building a fence around those things in a property which is a cheskas tashmishin. So the Gemara is going to wonder and give several suggestions as to what the difference is between leaving something there and building a fence. Why would the former not be a cheskas tashmishin and the latter, yes, be a cheskas tashmishin? And in that context, the Gemara is going to compare a cheskas kinyan, where you're nal gadur paratz, with a chazaka that's supposed to serve as a raya, that you are somehow the owner of the property. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss briefly what shutfin are able to stop each other from doing within a jointly owned chatzer, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of averting one's eyes when there are women by the kvisa, when there are women doing laundry, how one is supposed to close their eyes or avoid going in that area entirely. And then that's going to tangentially lead us into a number of different statements of the same Amora of Rabbi Bna'a. So we're going to, the first of which is going to relate to the clothing and the table of a Talmud Chacham, what the clothing of a Talmud Chacham should look like, what the table of a Talmud Chacham should look like. So we have a little bit of Agadita. So let's begin at the two dots, Nun Vav and Beis at the very bottom. Shlosha Achin Ve'echon Mitztarif Imayen Harei Elu Sholosh Eduyos Ve'in Edus Achas La'azama, that if you have three brothers, each of them testifying about 1 year of Chazaka, and then there's another person that joins with them that testifies about all 3 years of Chazaka, so it's considered three separate Eduyos as far as there's no psul of krovim in the edus, so the edus is acceptable, but it's edus achas la'azama, that if you want to make them into edim zomim, you need to be mazim es kulam. So says the Gemara, based on that, ha'u shtar dav chasimi alei beitrei, there was a shtar that had two signatures on it, shachiv chad minahi, one of the signators died from the shtar, so he couldn't be mekayim his signature in the shtar. The surviving person who had signed, the surviving witness, could verify, yes, that's my signature, and that would be fine as far as being Mekayim his signature, but the deceased witness, we had to be Mekayim his signature in some other way. So how did they do it? The brother of the surviving witness and some other person who was unrelated came, lasudei chasimas yadei, and they testified about the signature of the chasimas yadei deidach, about the signature of the second witness. Savar Ravina Lemeimar Hainu Masnisin. So Ravina thought to say, that's okay, because in our Mishnah we also have brothers joining together. They're not being made about the same exact thing, because in our case also, in this case with the Kiyum Shtaros, one of the brothers is being made about his own signature, the other brother is being made about the other signature, so that should be the same thing. Gimelach and Vachon it started in your mind, it should work. Savar Le Ravashi, me dummy. Ravashi said, no, you can't compare. Hasam Lo Nafik Lichi Riva Demona. mona pumadachi. Hacha navik michi riva demona pumadachi. In the case of our Mishnah, you do not have more than 50% of the money being extracted, or 50% of the testimony about the money being offered by brothers. You have three brothers that combine together for 50% of the testimony for one aid of 3 years, and then there's another aid for the other 3 years. Whereas in this case over here by the Chasimos, you have one brother testifying about his signature, that's half the Eidos, and the other brother being one of the Eidim that's testifying about the other signature, that's another 25% of the Eidos on this Shtar. So that's 75%, that's all brothers, and that's not going to work. You can't have 75% of the Eidos come out from brothers alone. That's not permissible. Now Tosfos points out they do have another option over here. He points out Ve'afgav Diyesh Takanuk Darmin and Perak Beis Deksubis De Meis Echon Min HaChasumin Ve'in Shteim Min Ashuk LeHeral Of Lichtov Chasimus Yadeh Lichtov Chasimus Yadeh Chaspa V'Shadi LeBeidino U'Machzikilei. So they always have the option that they could, the surviving witness, instead of testifying about his own signature and just being Mekayim his own signature that way, he could write his signature somewhere else and send it to Beis Din and let Beis Din be Mekayim his signature, so that it's not all based on him, and then it would be fine. So the Gemara says, yeah, inochinami, but Ravina thought we don't need to do that. He wanted to suggest that we wouldn't need to do that based on our Mishnah, so that's why the Gemara has to reject it and say, no, we do need to do that based on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is only a 50-50, and that's why it's okay, but when it's 75% based on brothers and 25% from non-brothers, that's not going to work. Now the parsha of kiyum shtaros is a din d'rabbanan to be mekayim shtaros. Normally eidim achsumim al shtar k'mishnach reidusim beizdin, so you don't need to be mekayim shtar, but it's a din d'rabbanan that one has to be mekayim shtar. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchzedus, and the Shulchan Aruch following after the Rambam in Siman Mem Vav and Choshen Mishpat goes through five ways to be mekayim shtar. Number one, you could have the dayanim recognize the signatures. Second way is that the Eidim sign in front of the Dayanim. A third way is that the Eidim that were Chasam on the Shtar each verify their own signature. A fourth way is that Eidim testify that these are the signatures of these two witnesses. And a fifth way is that the Ksav Yedeya Eidim is Yotzi Makom Acher. Now you see that their signatures are written on other Shtaros as well, and we compare the signatures to other Shtaros that are already Mekuyim, and therefore able to be Mekayim this shtar as well. So for all eduyos in the Torah, you need shnei edim. But in the third method of kiyum that we mentioned, that the edim are made on their own chasima, that's enough to have one ed. Meaning you only have one ed testifying, yes, that's my signature. Because the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Chafam Beis says zeomer zek sav yadi, zeomer zek sav yadi. That's it. They don't need anyone else. That works. So the Gemara explains that edim shtar are believed to be mekayim their chasimos without having anyone else, because by kiyum chasima they're being made on the manash of shtar, meaning when they're saying that's my signature, it's not testimony about the signature. By saying that's my signature, they're verifying to what they had signed in the shtar, to what the story that the shtar tells, that Reuven owes Shimon $100, whatever the shtar tells. So you do have two witnesses, because there are two witnesses on the event. So in our Gemara, what we were trying to do is trying to be mitzdarif two different types of kiyum shtaros: the chasima of the living witness by verifying his own signature, and the chasima of the deceased witness by two other people coming and saying that they are related. That's what was happening in our Gemara. Of the five ways, we were trying to be mitzdarif two of the ways of being mekayim mishtar. Now the Rashbam over here in Dibra Maschil Hainu Masnisen and Dibra Maschil Nechiriva, the Rashbam points out that two brothers are pasul eidos. Why? Because they are only considered ke'ed echad. When you have two brothers together, they're only, he said, the pasul rachman akrovim beidos achas l'tishen chashuvin ela ki'ish echad. They're only considered like a single person. So several of the Rishonim ask on the Rashbam, the Meiri, others, that if it counts as a eidos as eid echad, then it should be enough to be mechayev shvua. We never find such a thing, that when two brothers testify against somebody, that the person is now chayiv v'shvua, like you would when an eid echa testifies. So the Meiri says, now when two krovim are meir and eidus together, the psul is not because they're like eid echa. The psul is gzeres hakasov, layum suavos albanim. So the entire eidus is batel. The halacha is gmar makas tafeim beis, nimtzech and karv apostle, eidus and betela. The eidus is absolutely batel. It has no value whatsoever. But in the case of Kim Shtaros, the two brothers are not being made literally the same edus. The aid that signed on the shtar is made on his own signature. His brother is being made on the other guy's signature, so it's not exactly the same edus. And maybe in that case, that's what the Rashbam is saying. That's where we would say that they would have the status of an eid echad. There is also machlokes rishonim whether you could be mekayim shtar with edim who are krovim to the malve or to the love. Our Gemara doesn't talk about that. Our Gemara talks about using two brothers, one of whom is an aid on the shtar, and the other one is being mekayim the other aid. What if some of the people who are being mekayim the shtar are related to the borrower or the lender who are mentioned in the shtar? The whole din of kim shtaros is the rabbanon. So some of the rishonim want to say kim shtar can work al yidei krovim because all din is only midrabbanon. However, others say no, krov can't be mekayim shtar. And the Mordechai says, and the Raya is from our Gemara, because why should it make a difference if the aid is related to the other aid, or the aid, meaning the one who's trying to be mekayim shtar is related to the other aid, or you're related to the mouth of the lover? We see that kurva is an issue even in the world of kiyum shtaros. So the Nesivus suggests, no, there's a big difference. And the Nesivus in Simon Mem Vav writes that when Edom are krovim to each other, so you can't be machshir the Edus on, even for an Edus on kiyum shtaros, but Edom krovim to the mouth of the lover, since the Mekayimim are not being made on what it says in the shtar. That's not the nature of their testimony. When you're being Mekayim shtar, you're testifying this is so-and-so's signature, having nothing to do with the story that the shtar actually tells. And therefore, krovim to a malva and a lova can be made on kiyum shtaros. It's only krovim to the eidim that cannot, because that's what they're actually being made about. That's why they can't be made about kiyum shtaros. Good, so that's the discussion about brothers as far as combining to have an effect on a shtar. Now the next mishnah is going to discuss, as we mentioned before, the notion of cheskas tashmishin, that sometimes a chazaka is not a chazaka of being null gadar paritz, of making a kinyan on karka, nor a chazaka that we've been talking about most of this parak, which is a cheskas gimel shanim, that you purchase something from somebody a long time ago, and because you've been living there for 3 years, you have lost the shtar, and therefore if you've been there for 3 years, that's enough of a proof that you've been there. Now we do have a machlokas rishonim whether cheskas over here cheskas tashmishin means, you know, I have my stuff in your property and you haven't said anything about it yet, so we assume you're mochel. So I'm allowed to, you can't stop me from using your property in the way that I've been using it until this point. I opened up a window in my house that I can see your property, so you never stopped me when I was building the window. You haven't stopped me yet. So you're now unable to come up one day and say, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want that window there. I don't want you leaning your beams against my wall because it bothers me. Why didn't you say anything until this point? So that's what we call a cheskas tashmishim. There is a machlokas in the Rishonim whether a cheskas tashmishim takes, and it needs to be a chazaka sheyeshi mataina. Do you have to say, I know that you were mochel, and therefore that's my chazaka, and my chazaka helps because you were mochel? So some of the Rishonim, the Rashbam and Tosos and Daf Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, Rashbam and Mem Aleph Amar Aleph, say that by Cheskas Tashmishim you need a Taina as well, that there's no such thing as Chazaka without a Taina. So if you are Moda, that you have no Taina, that the guy never was Mochel and he never gave it to you and he never allowed you to do this, it's just that you assumed he didn't say anything, that's not good enough. However, the Rivam quoted in Tosos and Daf Chav Gimel and Tosrid and the Ramban, many others, hold the Cheskas Tashmishim works even without a Taina. The guy saw you, he didn't say anything, that is enough of a raya that he's mochal. The Rishonim use the lashon that it's a cheska savlanus, that it's a chazaka, that he's able to be sovel whatever you're doing, that he's able to tolerate it. And chazaka sheini mataina is only a problem when you're trying to claim ownership of the karka. That's not what's happening by cheska tashmish. You're not claiming any ownership, you're just claiming the rights of usage of the karka. There's a further machlokas rishonim, what the by the din of cheskas tashmishim, how long it takes to develop a chazaka of cheskas tashmishim. By chazaka, where you're claiming you're the owner of the karka, so we know that was our whole perek. You need 3 years. And the reason for the 3 years is because we assume that's how long you're going to hold on to the shtar. But when it comes to cheskas tashmishim, the Rashbam in our Mishnah and others hold the cheskas tashmishim also you need 3 years. However, most of the Rishonim, Tosos, the Ramban, the Ravid, the Ritva, the Rashba, most of the Rishonim hold, no, you don't need 3 years for cheskas tashmishim. Sha'achas, you're doing it, you're using it, the Bailam is shasak, he doesn't say anything, so that's a chazaka, good enough for cheskas tashmishim. Now, even if you hold that you don't need 3 years, there are several shitos in Rishonim how long it actually does take to have a cheskas tashmishim. The Ramban suggests in one place it's after it's clear that there was hezek in that tashmish to the balabais, and he still didn't say anything. Meaning, after it's obvious that you leaning your beams on his walls is affecting his walls, and still he allows it, so only then do you have cheskas tashmishim. Others say that it's shloshim yom. The Ravid is according to Shittim Guvetas. 30 days is the shear for cheskas tashmishim. So different shittos as far as what exactly cheskas tashmishim, how long it takes for cheskas tashmishim to happen. So let's see the Mishnah. Eilu dvarim sheyesh lehem chazaka veilu dvarim she'ein lehem chazaka. The following are things for which a person can have a cheskas tashmishim, and the following are things that a person cannot have a cheskas tashmishim. Now, if you look at the Rashbam, right on that line, kilomar elu mini tashmishim davrin lekamon shadim mishtamish b'shal chaveru shemishtamish shalosh shanim v'lo micha bo chaveru yesh lo chazaka lezeh machzik v'yachali liton ata nasatali l'tashmish zeh b'matana omachartali kon tashmishim kavuin. So right away you see the Rashbam says both of the, he gets involved in both of the machlokos we just mentioned. First of all, he says it's got to be 3 years. And he says that it has to be with a taina, that you gave me the rights to do this. Not that you gave me the property, you gave me the rights to do this. But then a couple of lines later, he quotes Rabbeinu Chanan al Pirish, El dvarm sheishlam chazaka kasher kvar pirashnu. That el dvarm sheishlam chazaka is not going on cheskas tashmishim that we're about to explain in this Mishnah. It's a summary of the previous Mishnayos. That in the previous Mishnayos we described chazaka. So kvar pirashnu, this is saying, oh, now that's put a bow on the sugya of chazaka, of cheskas gimel shanim, of null gadur parts type of chazaka. So that's what we say, el dvarm. But the Rashbam disagrees. Velo nihira. He says this has to be going on the coming Mishnayos, because if it's on the previous Mishnayos, it adds nothing to the previous Mishnayos. So it can't be. It's just that the Tanaim would just add Lashonos that don't actually do anything. So what is an effective Chazaka? So Ayimamid Behema B'chotzer Tana Rechaim V'Karayim U'Megadol Tana Goldim V'Nosin Zivlo B'chotzer Eina Chazaka. Here's what's not a chazaka. You're mamad a behema in the chatzar. You put an animal in the chatzar. You put an oven, a stove in the chatzar. You put some chickens in the chatzar. You put some zevel in the chatzar. Meaning, putting items in the chatzar, that is not a valid chazaka. The Rashbam explains, by being mamid dvarma mitaltalim, the bala chatzar is not going to be makbid ad arba v'chameh shanim. It's going to take way more than 3 years for him to be makbid, and therefore you have no chazaka in the tashmishim. So the Achronim say, whoa, wait a second, the Rashbam just made a new nut. He doesn't say that the guy's never makbid. Yael Sashachar points out that he says it takes 4 or 5 years.
5 years. So that makes it sound like after 5 years it will be a chazaka, which is quite a chiddush. We don't see that explicitly anywhere. But says the Mishnah, aval asa mechitza lebehemto gavoa asara. Let's say you make a mechitza that's 10 tefachim tall for your behema, gavoa asara tefachim. V'chein l'tanur, v'chein l'kirayim, v'chein l'rechayim. You not only put your oven there, you build a mechitza in the chatzar around it to protect it. Or hichnas tarnagol n'toch habayis v'asa makam leziv la'amok shlosha, o gavoa shlosha harezu chazaka. You dig deep 3 tefachim or build a pedestal that's 3 tefachim tall in the chatzer, that's a chazaka. Now you're making material change in the chatzer. You're making an actual physical change in the chatzer. It's not only about putting something there, that would in fact serve as a cheskas tashmishim. Now by the mechitza, it says that it's a mechitza of asara tfachim. In the Tosefta, in Parak Bey, it says, makom amidas tanur v'krayim b'chatzer ein lem chazaka, kura al gabeyan kol shehu harezu chazaka. So from our mission, it sounds like that for our mother's tanur, you need a mechitza of asara tfachim to be a chazaka. Now in the Tosefta, it says that a kura kol shehu al gabeyan is a chazaka. So the Chasdei David on Tosefta explains that it's not a machlokas. The Tosefta is talking about putting a roofing over the tanur. He says that's already much more kavua than a small fence. Once you put a roof over it, and that's something that people would be makbid about. But when it's a fence around it, that's where our Mishnah requires 10 tefachim in order for it to be considered a chazaka. So ask the Gemara now. Maishna Resha, Umayshna Seifa. Why is it that by putting these items in the chatzar you don't have a chazaka, but by building a fence around them, that all of a sudden creates a chazaka? The Rashbam explains, the kasalka daita chashta, de be'inish bi'alma she'eno bar chatzar zu ka'amar. That we're talking about some random person walks into your chatzar and leaves his oven there. He leaves his stove there. De'in zu chazaka, and that's still not a chazaka. V'hilkach kashale, that's why the Gemara is bothered. If it's some random person who has no shaychus to this chatzer, Maishna Reishim Yisefa, Havadah makpidin b'nei chatzer alish nachri, sheyavi kan behemosav, umidlo michu vada yitun l'mamakom b'chatzer zalam in behemosav. Certainly, normally, a person would be makpid about that. Someone just comes into your chatzer and leaves his stuff in your chatzer, of course you would be makpid about that. So why does the Reish of the Mishnah say that it's not a chazaka, that you're allowed to use it? L'chara, it should be a chazaka. That's the Gemara's kasha, meaning the kasha is not really on the Seifa as to why is it a chazaka when you build a fence. That's obvious, but the question is really on the Reisha. If we're talking about an Ish Zar, someone who you have no connection to whatsoever, just dumps his stuff in your chatzer, of course you're going to be makbid, and of course that should be a chazaka. So answer Gemara, Amr Ula, kol she'ilu b'nichse hager kone, b'nichse chavero kone. So Ula suggests a very interesting rule, that even though we keep on talking about different types of chazakos, and the word chazaka means 5 different things, and these chazakos have nothing to do with each other, Ula says some of these different chazakos are related to each other. Like the chazaka of a kinyan, b'nichse ager means a chazaka of nal gadur uparat. You go and you do something in the property to be kona a karka shal hefker. So the chazaka of a kinyan is not the same as a cheskas tashmishin, but says Ula, in a certain way it is. Only those actions that would be kone, if you were trying to make a chazak of a kinyan, only such actions would qualify for a cheskas tashmishin. And therefore, putting something in a chatzer is not kone b'nichse ager. You actually have to physically change. Na'al, gadar, parat. You have to build, you have to breach, you have to dig, you have to do something. So only that would qualify as a cheskas tashmishin as well. And kol shilu b'nichse ager lo kone, b'nichse chavera lo kone. And therefore, anything that would not work b'nichse ager would not work b'nichse chavero either. So that's Ula's suggestion as to what the difference is between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Reisha, you're bringing things in. That's not a null gadar parats. In the Seifa, you're building a fence. That's gadar. That's a normal chazaka. So Maskar of Shesha. So Shesha says, but wait, but that rule doesn't seem to be correct. The klalahu, is that really a rule that whatever would work as a kinyan b'nichse ager automatically works as a cheskas tashmishin? Vare near the b'nichse ager kane. If you were to plow a field that is nichse ager, that's hefker, you would now become the proud owner of that field. It works b'nichse ager. We wouldn't say you have a cheskas tashmishim in the field, or you have a proof of ownership of a field, or when you plowed a field, because you know what would happen if you plowed someone's field? They wouldn't make a macha'a. They would say thank you very much, and then they would save themselves the work of having to plow, and they'd be able to plant without plowing. So if there's no reason that the bailim should make a macha'a, then there's no chazata. Then you can't prove that you are the owner of the field or the rights to use the field in any which way. So that's not a rule. Vare achilas peros de benichse chaveru kana, benichse ager lo kana. And on the flip side, if you go into a field and you eat the peros of the field, so the guy should make a macha, the owner of the field should not be happy about that. He should be saying something about that. And that therefore is a chazaka. For cheskas gimel shanim, that works, to be ochel peros. But benichse ager, that's not nol gadur parats. If you go into nichse ager to Hefker and you just start eating the peros off the field of Hefker, you are not the proud owner of that field. You may be the proud owner of those peros because they too were Hefker, but you're not the proud owner of that field. It is not a valid kinyan. So this first answer to the question of Maisha Resha, Maisha Seifa, that Ula suggested is highly questionable, the Gemara points out. His rule that he suggests, that if you didn't do something that would qualify as a null gadru paratz, then you don't have a chazaka that shows that you own the rights of Tashmish in that property, that doesn't seem to be true. Elo Amar Rav Nachman, so rather another suggestion. Elo Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Hacha b'chatzer ha-shutfi naskinan. What's happening in our Mishnah is we're not talking about a random stranger comes and leaves a tanur or kirayim or tarnagolim or anything else in your field. What we're talking about is that you and somebody else are partners in the field. So what do you allow your shutaf to do in the field? What is your agreement of what you guys are allowed to do in the property? So to leave your things there, for sure, you would never say anything if he left his stuff there, and he would never say anything if you left your stuff there. But to start making physical changes to a jointly owned property without consulting you, to start building fences, to start digging in a jointly owned property, that you would definitely be makbid. You would have said something. Rosh Bam writes in the second line over here, V'stam chatzer l'knisa v'yitziyohu v'lo l'hamid sham be'mosav v'chafotzav z'man meruba v'ilkach v'amadz be'mosav grey de'belo binyan lo v'chazaka de'be'amad ha'kadi lo kapti shutfin ze al ze. But even though it's not normal to leave things in the property for an extended period of time when the property is a chatzer is just meant as a place to go in and out, but you wouldn't be makbid unless you needed the area for your own use. Only then would you actually say something. But by building a fence, when it comes to building a fence, you would say something right away. Tosus points out, sounds like that which you're makbid about, you would be kona. The other guy would be kona. V'amr leel, the shutfin in machzikin zelzeh. The pub maniach echel, the shtamish chaveru gimel shon, v'acharkach yishtamishu. Asks Tosos, we had said previously that partners can never develop a chazaka against each other, because what might be happening is that the way they divide their partnership is you use it for the next 3 years, I'll use it for the 3 years after that. In which case, nobody's going to say anything about whatever usage you use this field for, because it's for these 3 years, it's yours. Do whatever you want with it. And you know what? Whatever fences you build in the field, after the 3 years, when it's my turn, I'll knock them down, and I'll use the field in whatever way I want to use it. So why don't we assume the same thing over here? Why are we assuming that Shutfim would be makbid? So Tos suggests that we could be mechalik between a sada and a chatzer. He says, over here we're talking about houses that open up into a chatzer. So we're not talking about a field that's somewhere in the middle of nowhere where you might have it for 3 years, then I'll have it for 3 years. No, it's the chatzer that we all jointly share. It's the cul-de-sac that all of our houses open up into. So I'm not going to say, yeah, for the next 3 years, I'm not going to walk through the cul-de-sac. I'll always use the back door, climb over the neighbor's fence, and go out on the others. That's crazy. Yeah, obviously, you're using it each and every day. So in that case, we know that it's not a three-year split, and that's why chazaka can be developed in this case. Okay, ask the Gemara, Uba Amad Kedi Lo Kapti, is that true that people are not makbid when you just leave things in a chatzar hashutvin? V'hatnan, but the Mishnah teaches us, hashutvin shenadru hana'a zemizeh. If two partners take a neder hana'a, that they're not going to get hana'a from each other, asurin likanis l'chatzar, they're not allowed to go into the chatzar that's jointly owned, because so long as they haven't divided the chatzar, each one could go into to nichse chavero, to chelech chavero, and if each one does, it's going to be a violation of bal yachel. And the Rashbam points out the misa de lo kapti mutalam bechatzar chavero af pi shemudim menu anah de kibin de lo kapit ba mida rei hifkir as a chatzar lekol bnei a chatzar lamud bo. He says if people weren't makbid about your shoot of standing in your chatzar, why would it be a violation of the neder to come into the chatzar if you're not makbid about it? So then it's ki'ilu am mafkir the rights of standing in my chatzar. So you're not getting hana'a from me when you stand in my chatzar. I was mafkir that. It's not enough for me at all. Ella amar Rav Nachum na amar Rav Baravua hacha b'rechava shalachorei batim askinan. Deba amada kedi lo kapti v'amachitza kapti. Now over here we're talking about the area behind the houses where people are not so makbid. But Eirach Hinami, you're right. In a chatzar itself, the people are makbid even about hamada. People are makbid even about standing in a chatzar, and that's why in nedarim it's a violation of the neder to be omeid in a chatzar ashutvim from a person that you took a neder you're not going to get any hana'a from. But in the rechavish achorei abatim, it would not have been a violation of the neder because no one's makbid about the rechavish achorei abatim. Papa amar idi v'idi b'chatzar ashutvim v'ika dekapti v'ika delo kapti. And Rav Papa says no. Both the Mishnah in Nedarim and our Mishnah is talking about a chatzar shutvin, a jointly owned chatzar, and some people are makbid and some people are not makbid. And therefore, if you were to ask, is this call that you're getting hana'a, is this something that a person is makbid about, that he doesn't want you standing in his jointly owned chatzar, the answer is maybe. We don't know. And what do we do when we don't know? It's a suffix. So gabe mamona lukula. When it comes to mamon, we're always going to be makil in the suffix. Gabi isura l'chumra, and when it comes to an isur, we're going to be machmir. So we're going to by mamon, which is our case of continuing to use that property. So we're going to be makel. We're going to say that he's allowed to keep his behemos in that property, even though he never got explicit permission to do so. But by an isur of neder, we're going to go l'chumra because it's a suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. So whenever you have a suffik isur, you're always going to go. L'chumra. Now, in the Achronim, in the back of the Gemara, they raise the issue that Mamon l'kula, Ratzalomar says the Rashash, kula l'nitva. You know, by Mamon, it's hard to say kula, because what's a kula for one person is a chumra for the other person. So the Rashash says it means a kula for the one who the claim is being made against. Tama'arer nikra muchzak. The one who's making the claim is called the muchzak. Kiven de guf ha-chatzer af le-divrei ha-machzik hu shel shutvus. De gam hu-einu omer el shenosan omachal lo le-tashmish zeb bilvad. Because everyone acknowledges who the owner of the property is. He's only claiming that he has the rights of usage of this of this property. Now, Tiferes Yisrael in the back of the Gemara raises a different question. He says, how could there be a difference between Safek Mamon and Safek Isser? If you have a Safek whether I'm allowed to use this Mamon that belongs to somebody else, isn't that a Safek Isser Gezel? So that's a Safek Isser because I'm violating Gezel. He says, no, I'll call upon him Shiny Mamon this Yav L'Mechila. No, there are different rules of Dine Mamonis, and the reason that there are different rules of Dine Mamonis is because Mamonis is lends itself to mechila. Like you can't say I'm mochel on basar b'chalav. It's okay, you can eat it. I'm mochel. No, I can't be mochel. But since mamon by definition is nitan the mechila, it's its own category. Even though in a chinami, that's part of our obligation as religious Jews is to observe dine mamonis as well. But that doesn't make it a sevheter. It's still considered to be dine mamonis. Ravina amar liolam lo kapti. Ravina says really no one's makbid about such things. Vahamani Rabbi Eliezer. And the Mishnah Nedarim that's makbid about two people who have a neder anah against each other from even being in the chatzer, that's assuming like the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that even a vitor is an asr of of a neder. And Rashbam explains what does it mean, even a vitor on the first very wide line. Kigon balabayis shemudra ana mechenveni v'shalach lo balabayis pruta lechenveni liknos menu meya egozim bepruta voz lechenveni achas yisera ushtayim. Aser balabayis ba'osu vitr shos lechenveni. You send some money to buy 100 of a certain item from a storekeeper. You have a neder, you're not allowed to get hanah from the storekeeper. But what happens when you buy 100 of something? They'll throw in one or two extra, and that's normal. Still, you're not allowed to do that because it's a matana. V'alpi shalashar lo chimnami hosif. He does that for everybody. Still, any sort of hanah whatsoever, you need to be careful about. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Say, in a chinami, people are not makbid to allow anybody. I would allow for anybody to stand in my chatzer hashutfin. I let the other shutaf stand there. No one would be makbid about such a thing. But still, Rabbi Eliezer says that's called a hana'a. And if you have a nedra hana'a, then you're not allowed to do that. So that's the that's the explanation of why the Mishnah Nedarim seems to be against our Mishnah. Period. Now we begin a series of statements of Rabbi Bina'a. Am Rabbi Yochum Mishnah Rabbi Na'a. But kol shutvin ma'akvin zeh chutz min akvisa shein darkin shol b'noi sol lisbazos alakvisa. Shutvin in general stop each other from using the joint property in ways that they don't like, except for kvisa, except for when it comes to doing laundry. Because a Jewish girl shouldn't have to be mevazer herself by going and doing laundry in a public place. So it's not the derech. So they do laundry locally in the in a private area of the chatzer. What's so terrible about doing laundry? Why is it such a bizayon? So Rashbam writes, shetzrichos lamud sham yechefos legalus shok lamud benahar. Because if they're going to do laundry by the river, they're going to have to be there barefoot, and it's not the derech, it's a bizayon that a woman is going to be magala shok, that a Jewish woman is going to reveal her shok, that's shok pi isha erva, so when she's by the river, it's going to be revealing her shok as she does the laundry. The Achronim discuss whether this is a raya in the famous machlokas between the Mishnah Brura and many other poskim as to what is called the shok, meaning we know that a shok pi isha erva, which part of the body is the shok? So the Mishnah Brura is as a big kula, where Mishnah Brura says the shok is the part above the knee, that the part below the knee, if the minag of people in that place is not to have any sort of covering on the part below the knee, it's talayin minag hamakom, whatever the minag hamakom is. So if the minag is not to cover the part below the knee at all, then that's perfectly fine. But many of the achronim disagree with the Mishnah Brura. The Chazanish is mesubuk about it, but many of the achronim disagree and say Rav Azra, many others, that that the area below the knee, and there are rayas from Shas, that the area below the knee might be the shok, which would mean that it's meikar adin that you have to cover the area below the knee. Now, how are these women going by the kvisa? So Rashbam writes they were yechefos, they were barefoot, legalos shok. And barefoot is megala shok. Sounds like the Rashbam holds that it's the bottom part of the leg that's called the shok. And even that, one is not allowed to be megala. Rav Moshe held like the Mishnah Brura, or the Bnei Brak poskim held like the Chazanish. That's so you have a split sort of like between Minig America, whatever. I don't know Minig America, but you have a split in the poskim about that issue. Okay, va'otzim ein of miros perad. The Gemara, once we mention Rabbi Bina, so we're gonna, and once we mention the women by the kvisa, we're gonna talk about istaklus benashim a little bit. That a person who closes his eyes from seeing evil. That's talking about a guy who doesn't look at the women when they are standing by the laundry. Says, what exactly is the case? If there's another way to go where you don't have to pass by the area where the women are doing the laundry, rashahu, then even if you do close your eyes, you're rasha. Why are you putting yourself in that kind of situation where you're going to be able to see what they're doing? And if there's nowhere else to go, it's the only way to get where you need to go. So anusu, you're an onus, and therefore you wouldn't even need to close your eyes l'chora if you're an onus. So Gemara says l'om d'leka darka achrita v'afilu hachi. That there is no other way, and still you have to close your eyes. You're not allowed to keep your eyes open. The Rashbam explains that the Gemara's question is that if there's no other derech, you're an ones, so why would you have to close your eyes? So I asked Rav Moshe in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Evan Ezer Simen Nun Vav, Why would it be mutter for a person to go by the river when women are doing the laundry if there's no other derech? The issur to be mistakel b'nashim is a bizrayu of gilui arayus. Only an onus of mesiris nefesh would allow for it. Why? Because you need to go somewhere. So don't go somewhere. It's only a bizrayu of gilui arayus. And even that, even Abizrayu of Gilei, even Mesiris Nefesh, not so posh for Abizrayu of Gilei Arayus, Sugin Sanhedrin, there could be Yaharik Val Yavar on every Abizrayu as well. So Rav Moshe points out that no, the situation is, you're going to a place where you don't think you're going to have any Hirhurim. You don't think you're going to be Mistakel. You might see if you keep your eyes open, but you're not going to have any Hirhurim. So that's that. But still, if it's avoidable, still you should close your eyes. So that's what Moshe says, that the issur of Re'iyah is that you might come to be Mahar afterwards. And therefore it's mutter to go when there's no Derech Acheres, and to be Somech that he's going to be Masiach Das, and that he's not going to be focused on that, on what's going on over there, on the women that are over there. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to more statements from Rabbi Noah and how a Talmud Chacham is supposed to dress tomorrow. All right.